You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
One of the very good things that is happening this month, today in fact, is the Tempo Dance Festival, and there is an awesome panel discussion called Crip Dance, Dance and Disability that is happening tonight, and Susan Cowan is on the line. Morena, Susan, how are you?
Atamalie, I'm very well, thank you.
Hey, it's so great to chat to you. This sounds like an amazing conversation and part of a very fantastic festival that happens every year, but in true 2020 style has gone online, which is actually a pretty cool thing in many ways. I'd like to start though, Suzanne, by asking you what your relationship to dance is. I know you've got a PhD in dance, and how you got involved in dance and disability work.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so just to start with, this is an independently curated event through Tempo Dance Festival, and I've been involved in contemporary dance for about 20 years. My training really was with an international company called Kanduko Dance Company, where I was based in London for nearly 4 years. And I did a lot of touring with them, and then I came back to New Zealand, and then I started researching my own work and my own choreography, really started exploring the idea of what does it mean to be a Crip dance artist or a disability dance artist, and you know, what are all the interesting ramifications and implications of that.
That seems like such a massive topic and something that maybe a lot of people haven't ever thought about before, but you get incredible performers working in this area. What was it that kind of sparked the passion for dance in you?
Well, I think I've always been a dancer. I mean, I remember being a little kid, before I started school and really enjoying dance, and then, you know, learning ballet and modern and jazz, you know, as I was a young girl. And so it's just something that I've always really enjoyed. And then I picked it up again, more seriously in my early 30s, which is not the usual trajectory for a dancer. You know, it's often seen as something that, you know, there's a stereotype around who would be a dancer, that you would be young, really athletic, of course slim, you know, and a particular kind of physicality. And I guess that's what has really intrigued me about being a dancer with a disability, is that I don't fit that stereotype at all, and I love that.
Something I've always loved about the Tempo Dance Festival is I think it's a really great avenue for people who are sort of maybe new to forms of dance that aren't what you'd think of in the same sense that you were just talking about a stereotype of a traditional dancer or something. Stereotypes of traditional dance as well. It sits kind of beyond that, and it looks at maybe some more kind of conceptual modes of dancing and ways of dancing that some people might not have ever even thought about as dancing before. Do you feel like this conversation that you're going to be having tonight is going to be addressing a little bit of that, as well as kind of what it means to be, as you say, a Crip dancer or a disability dancer?
Yeah, I think what you're talking about is dance as an expanded form. And really what that means is that, you know, dance is movement. Mm-hmm. And, movement is everywhere and involves everything. So, and that can be quite abstract as well for people. So, yeah, sometimes I think it can be a little bit confusing. Is this dance, you know? Just move that box across the space. Is this dance? In contemporary dance, which is really eclectic, I guess that's been the case for a long time, and particularly in experimental dance. It's not a new thing. It's been around since about the 60s, 70s, so it's really not a new thing at all. And of course now, you know, we're expanding obviously into the digital space and to AI a lot more, and so dance can take place without bodies as well. So I think that's quite exciting as well.
It's a liberating thing as well when you sort of start to think about any kind of movement being a potential for dance or a dance in itself. It starts to kind of, I guess, change your thinking in a massive way. I want to know, could you describe a little bit for people who haven't seen you perform before, Suzanne, what is your style of dance? How would you describe it for someone who hasn't seen it?
That's an interesting question. Well, actually, to be honest, sometimes it's best to go online and check out some videos. Mm. Actually, if you Google me under Suzanne Cowan and dance, come up with, you know, different kind of dances I've done and different films I've made. So sometimes it's best to see it. But the style of dance that has been foundational to my approach has been contact improvisation, which is two or more bodies sharing weight, and often they use each other, we use each other to surf each other's body surfaces, and, you know, to mobilize around the space. So, and again, you know, if I describe that on the radio, that sounds mm-hmm. quite abstract. Mm. But that has been a major kind of impetus for my work. And actually with what we could call disability dance, it can be called many things, but with dance that involves people with different kind of mobility issues, often that is a really generative form, and that, mm. you know, it really allows for some interesting kind of combinations, because it doesn't depend on a particular shape or a particular particular kind of body. And in that sense, it's really democratic. So, yeah, and also, you know, for example, I'm just making a dance film at the moment, and, you know, I'm really looking at the relationship between body and landscape, and digitally kind of bringing those two concepts together. So it can be anything from... you know, it can be something quite abstract as well.
It seems like once you sort of start to dip your toes into this kind of realm, the world is a bit your oyster, to mix all my metaphors there a little bit. But it seems like once you start to think in this way, it really sort of picks up and just races along into all these different avenues of creative expression. I am really interested in the central question that is going to be part of this discussion tonight, which is, what does it mean to be a crip dance artist in the 21st century, and how does our work reflect our crafting of our identities? You've had like a very interesting and a long career, as you mentioned, nearly 20 years. How do you feel it's changed for you across that time? Because you must have seen some changes in your own relationship to dance, but also in, I guess, the kind of forms of dancing you do and that relationship to the world more broadly.
Yeah, we'll come back to the word crip. So crip is actually... that's a word that the disability community has reclaimed, obviously from the word cripple. And so it's sort of taking a word that was once seen as being really reductive and then seeing it as something that's really valued and revered, and that actually it's a really cool thing to move through the world with a physical, mental or neurological difference. And it's not something that we have to be ashamed of or try to hide or minimise. You know, so this is really about valuing difference. And I think, you know, where my perception of myself has really shifted over the years through my career is that I've embraced the idea that actually we have a fluid range of identities. I'm not just one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a disabled person, you know, specifically, you know, and actually that's fluid, in the sense that I'm disabled in some environments, but I'm not disabled in other environments. And so it's a really fluid thing. And so it's not getting fixed to one particular identity. And I guess that's where my research, my PhD research really took me, was into having a really expanded sense of, you know, what my identity is. And that was very much influenced by queer theory, you know, which really embraces that idea of fluid identity and not just being one fixed thing, and going beyond duality.
And reclamation as well, I suppose, is also a big part of that too.
Sorry, what was that?
Reclamation as well is also a big part of that, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's really where the juice has been for me, is that idea of reclamation, and also really expanding my idea of, you know, how I think about myself, how I think about my art form, and what is the potentiality for that. So that's, yeah, that's actually been really exciting over the years, and that's really what's kept me going.
I think it's going to be such a fascinating conversation. It's yourself, Rodney Bell, Pelena Keke-Brown and Sarah Hubolt who will be part of the conversation tonight. It's happening from 8 p.m. And it's on the, I think it's on the Facebook page, is that right? The Tempo Dance Festival Facebook page is where...
Yeah, that's right. So it's been live streamed through the Tempo Facebook page.
It's a pretty cool thing, I reckon, that we've managed to find these ways in 2020 to have these conversations still and in some ways bring more people in because it gives more people access to it as well. So I highly recommend people tune in tonight. I think it's going to be an awesome one. It's about 45 minutes long. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. And you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the key thing is about accessibility. And that's the cool thing about these digital spaces is that it's actually making it more accessible to more people.
Absolutely. Well, if people want to find out a bit more as well, tempo.co.nz is where you can find out about the whole Tempo Dance Festival. Thank you so much, Suzanne Cowan, for speaking to us this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.